Hey, good morning. Today's daf is daf pei beis. So we got three lines down. The Gemara says, Amar le Rav Huna le Rabba Brei. Rav Huna said to his son, Rabba, my time alo shchichas kamed Rav Chista. How come you don't find yourself? How come you're not learning by Rav Chista? Why do you want to go to Rav Chista? The mechad din shmaisi. He's very sharp. He had a very strong way and clear way of teaching. So Amar le, Rabba responds back, my azal agabe, why should I go to him? When I go learn by him, mostly b'milad b'alma, he just talks about very mundane topics, nothing related to Torah and Ruchnius. So Amar Lei, man da'ila beisa kisei, he says, one who goes to the bathroom, v'lo leisa behedya, he shouldn't sit down immediately, v'lo litrech tvein, he shouldn't push himself too much, d'ha karkashta atla shine yosef, because he's going to injure himself in doing so. Dilma mishtamte shina kakashi, perhaps some of the area of the backside will get ruined. But also the sakana is going to be very dangerous. So this is why I go to base medrash to learn these types of matters. That's for a doctor, that's for a science class, and not for base medrash. So Amalei, his father says, ha asik b'chai de b'riyasa. He's talking about such important topics of a person living, that which is safe. Vat amis b'milad alman. You're saying these are just matters that are mundane. These are very important. It's a Rebbe's obligation to ensure that people stay safe. So kol shekein zilagabe. So certainly you should go to him. You're not learning just stam the Gemara, which of course is the highest learning, but to keep and maintain a person's safety, that's very important. So, Hayu Lufanav Tzurv Echeres, going back to the sugyas of Muksa. So, the Gemara says a person has two options on Shabbos. Rashi said we're describing a situation on Shabbos, whereby there's a Tzur and Echeres, there's a rock, and there's a piece of pottery. So, Ravuna Amar, Mekanech B'Tzurv Eina Mekanech B'Echeres, it's better for a person to use a rock than it is to use a piece of pottery. Why is that? Why is a rock better? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says Mekanech Bitsur around seven narrow lines down, Bishabis, Vyafabijalab Bar Tiltahu, Ba'alma, even though Tsur Iraq is not movable, in other words, it's mukza, Vena Mekanech Mecheres, but a person should not use pottery because pottery is Mishim Sakana. So a person rather to override mukza and not override the Sakana because using a cheres it could cut and it could be very dangerous for a person. So then, in response to Chista Amar, Mekanech Becheres Vein Mekanech Betzur, better to use pottery than it is for using a tzur, because pottery is an issue of muksa, so it sounds like it's muksa. Not that they're arguing about whether it's sakana or not. Everyone agrees probably the same level of sakana. We don't like to say that they're arguing about a situation of Matzias, but the level of sakana that's involved here, how great is it? In which case, is it worthy of muksa, or is it worthy of protecting a person from any form of sakana? That seems to be the understanding here. So the Gemara then says, Meisive, Hayu Lufanav Tzur V'Cheres, that guy has an options of either using a rock or pottery. Mekanech B'Cheres Vein Mekanech B'Tzur. He should use a cheres and not a tzur, because a cheres at least isn't muksa. Tiv Sadu Rav Huna. This is against Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, better for a person to use a tzur than it is to use a cheres. So the Gemara says, Targum Rafim Bar Papa Kamei Rav Chista Aliba de Rav Huna. So Rafim presented the case in front of Rav Chista in defense of Rav Huna, that Beogne Kalim, which are the tips, the rims of the Kalim, and what's the significance of that? Rashi says, Beogne Kalim Shem Chalakim, they're smooth. Veinam Mikarin Esavasa, they don't tear it out. So it comes down, it seems that there's not really a machlokas here. There really depends on the different situation. That if you have a Klecheres that's Ogne Kalim, it's smooth, it's not dangerous, so that's certainly preferable because it's not muksa, while the tzur is muksa. But if you have a piece of cheres that's sharp, which is sakana, then it would be preferable to use the tzur and override muksa than to get a person self involved in any form of sakana. The Gemara then says, Viter, how you find of a tzur of asam? Now you have the option of either using a rock or grass, so what should the option be? So the Gemara says that Rav Chisa, Rav Hamnuna, Chadamar Mekanech B'Tzur, Veino Mekanech B'Asavim, better to use a rock than it is to use grass. V'Chadamar Mekanech B'Asavim, Vein Mekanech B'Tzur. While the other one thinks better to use grass than it is to use a rock. So what's the issue of the grass? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Veino Mekanech B'Asavim, She'Asavim Lachem V'Chotchen Esabasar. When they're moist, they're wet, it causes the tears and the cutting in the flesh. And Rashi goes on to say, Rabbi Senu Mefarshim Mishim Talisha, they thought it was perhaps an issue of Talisha, because you're using when the grass maybe is attached to the ground, and that's going to be a violation of Kotzer. The Inu De Mahu, and Rashi himself said, I don't understand fully what's going on here. Diva Asavim Mechubarim Mikaman Deshari, if it's connected to the ground, would anyone permit a person to use grass that's connected to the ground? That's certainly a problem of Kotzer. It's a violation of Midiraisa. Ukumaduma ani, says Rashi, it appears to me, demokbila bin mechubarn, umakanech ben bechibur. No, maybe it does taka make sense. We're talking about grasses attached to the ground, and a person uses the grass on the ground to clean himself. And that chashash of it perhaps cutting off is what's going on here. So is it better to use a tsror, which is a violation of muksa, or is it better to use a savim, which is a violation of a possible violation that it might come to do tsira? So this is the machlokas. The Gemara that says, Meisive hamakanech b'davar shehaor shalat spell. A person uses something that is flammable, that or that fire could catch on it. So shinav tachtonios nosho. So that which is flammable, if used to clean oneself, is going to injure a person on his body when cleaning himself. So we see that the grass is certainly something that's flammable, and therefore, why would this ever be permitted? This is a sakana. So lokasha habalachan habivation. Depends whether or not the grass is dry or liquid. So Rashi explains here, lachen ein or sholat behes bo. We know that when something is wet, it's not very flammable. Wet piece of wood doesn't catch fire, and as a dry piece of wood does. So too with grass. If grass is wet, so it's not going to catch fire, it's not flammable, and therefore won't pose a danger. But if it's dry, whereby it is flammable, it will pose a danger. So then the Gemara says, hanitach liponos veino nifta. The person who needs to go to the bathroom, and it does not, Rav Chisa Rav Vino, one person says it's going to lead to bad breath. The other one says it's going to lead to bad body odor from the zeya, from the perspiration. So Rashi explains what's going on here. At least biologically, Rashi says the ruach ra reach hapesha zevel merakev b'me'ayim. A person needs to go to the bathroom, and as long as he keeps it in the bath in the body for longer, it begins to rot and v'yotze reach derech hapiv, and it emits bad smell through the mouth. Ruach zuhuma, says Rashi, kol gufo, the entire body must reach b'zeh, becomes rotten and ruined and overtaken by bad odor from the zeh, from the sweat. The bad smell of the waste in the body begins to absorb itself into the body, into the flesh, into his limbs. It causes a sweating. So there's a machlokas of what happens exactly. Also, it sounds interesting. Sounds like a machlokas of mitzis, what actually happens in the body physically. But either it's ruach ra from the peh, or it's ruach zuhuma in the entire body. So then the Gemara explains further. Tanya. There's a brayse that supports the opinion that it's the entire body is overcome by bad body odor. The Tanya, the brayse says that hanitach l'nekav v'ochel, one who needs to go to the bathroom and eats, in other words, he doesn't relieve himself, but he needs to, and he eats on a during the need to go to the bathroom. Domer l'tanur shesiku al gav af efro. It's like a person has an oven and it's full of ashes, and he lights the fire while the ashes are there. The way it should be done is really you remove the ashes, clean it out, and then start a new fire. But to start a fire while the ashes are there, that's not the way to move an oven. It's going to probably cause a lot of smoke and bad smell within the oven. So v'zuhi t'chias ruach zuma, one who does this, it's going to start leading to a person having a bad body odor while eating with the need to go to the bathroom. So the Gemara then says, "Hutrach lipanos v'eino yachol lipanos." A person needs to go to the bathroom, but he's constipated; he can't go. So the Gemara itself provides answers. It's fascinating how the Gemara talks about like every topic under the sun, all areas. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Chista yamod v'yeshiv yamod v'yeshiv." Person should stand. He should sit. He should stand. He should sit. He should move his body to move the bowels around a little bit. So Rav Chanan min harda amar yistalik letzadan. A person should move sideways, back and forth. That causes the body to move and the bowels to move. Rav Hamnuna amar yimashmesh b'tzur be'osamak. Discussed in the past, he should use a rock to somehow manipulate that area to go to the bathroom. And Rabbanan Ami, Yasiach Taito, he should forget about it. He should just stop thinking about it, and that's going to help it come. So the Gemara says, Amar le Rav Acha, Brei de Rav le Rav Ashi, Kol Shigain Dichi Masach Daite lo Mipane. So this last suggestion, the Rabban should just stop thinking about it. If a person stops thinking about it, he's certainly not going to use the bathroom. He's going to forget about it. That's not an Eitzah to cause one to use the bath to go to the bathroom. So Amar le Yasiach Daito. Daito midvar acherim. What it means is stop thinking about other matters and focus on the need to use the bathroom to relieve themselves, and that's going to be the eitzah. So there are four eitzahs that are mentioned here in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amar lei yasiach daito midvar acherim. Did that already? I'm sorry. Amar of Yirmiyah midifti ledidi chazi li hahu taya. I saw a certain Arab. The Kami Yosef. He stood. He employed one of the suggestion of Rav Chista. Deshavich bekter until he. After it caused this abaya to go bath, and it poured out of him like a pot pours out water. So Tanur Rabbanan the Brayse says, Hanichnas l'sudas keva. A person goes in to have a meal. Yahalech eser pamim mishal arba amos. The person should walk 10 times for amos back and forth. And amila others say arba pamim mishal eser. He should walk 4 times a 10 amos distance. Both of them are same in terms of a total of 40 amos. You should either do 4 10 or 10 4. And v'nifta, then a person should relieve himself, so he goes into the meal empty. V'nichlas v'yeshu bimkomo, and should go and sit in his place and have the seuda. The final mission of Gemara of the Perek is as follows. Back to, again, last items that need to be mentioned in terms of the shirim of carrying them in Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, Cheres, k'dei litein bein patzim l'chaveru. When it comes to a piece of pottery, enough to place in between one slat to another slat. Rashi explains here that when you're building different types of beams in the ground, so there's a little space in between, so you place a piece of pottery in between to cover the space, to fill in the space, to perhaps hold the beams together. I'm not entirely sure what the function was, but that was the shear of Klei Cheres. Divri Rabbi Yehuda, that's according to Rabbi Yehuda, while Rabbi Meir Omer, he holds that Kedei Lachtos Basaor, in order to pick up a fire with it, to hold the fire and carry it around, that's the size of a Klei Cheres that's needed. So the Gemara then says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hidei Lekabal Barvius, it should be a Klei Cheres that's enough, large enough to hold a revius of some type of liquid, water, wine, or something. So Amar Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir says, Afa Pisha Ein Raila Davar, even though there's no proof, Rabbi Meir says, that Zechel Davar, I do have a remez, a hint for such a concept. Floy Matzi B'michtaso, again, Rabbi Meir is one who holds that the Klei Cheres has to be enough to lachlos b'asor, to stoke the coals. So what's his raya? It's based on a pasuk. The pasuk tells us as follows, it's a pasuk in Yishayahu, that Floy Matzi B'michtaso Cheres, Lachtos Eish Miyakor. So we see here that the words are juxtaposed of a cheres to lachtos Eish in order to stoke the coals, stoke the fire. So that's the remez, the davar, according to Rabbi Meir. So Amarle Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef's response is, Misham Raya, from there's a proof, Lachtos Maim Migev, the pasuk goes on to say, and to pick up a water from the hole, which shows that it's a very small amount. That clay cheres that we're talking about is the pasuk itself says lachtos eish. It also says lachtos maim migeva, to pick up some water, which apparently is an insignificant amount. Okay, the Gemara now says has a little parenthesis here. We'll skip the parenthesis. Mistavra, it makes sense. The Gemara says that the shiur, the Rabbi Meir nafish, that it makes sense that the shiur of Rabbi Meir is larger. It's larger than that of Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, Isak Zadech Shir de Rabbi Yossi Nafish. If you think Rabbi Yossi's shear is larger, Rabbi Yossi is the one who says, in order to hold a cup of a revius of water, so if he thinks he's larger than that of Rabbi Meir, Light La Bimana Zutra of Ahadu Light La Bimana Rabba, would then a person first curse, you know, this Pasuk Yishayahu, would first curse a person with a who uses a smaller kli and then one with a larger kli? Now, first you use one, you curse one with a larger kli, and then a smaller kli, you use this size kli, and then certainly if you use a smaller kli, that somehow the Pasuk Yishayahu is referring to the cursing here. So just 1 second here. Hold on. I'm just reading here what exactly the context of Yeshayahu is talking about here. So there it's talking about the Yeshayahu is busy, he's yelling at the Jews for lacking emun and bitachon in Hashem, and they were looking for some aid, as it explains here in the article, some of the back end here, they're looking for some help from Mitzrayim. So he says that the wall of defense that you're looking at is going to fall, it's going to shatter into nothing, so that even the smallest piece of will be left whole. Rabbi Meir says that the use that using this in order to connect to the lachtos of the cheres is talking about the stoking the coals. So either way, this is the context of what's going on here. So he gives a curse of the different clay cheres that's going to be left, that they'll be insignificant, and therefore the order of how the curse should be, it comes clear from the psukim that it should be mentioning that the shear of Rabbi Meir must be larger of the shear of Rabbi Yossi. In other words, the shear of lachtos is aish must be larger than the shear of the lachsof maim migeva. Gemara now says, and finishing off this parak, that Amar Bai says, Masisa nami lachtos aish mikida. Here as well, therefore Rabbi Meir says, Bai says that Rabbi Meir's shear is larger, he spoke about the picking up the fire, and that's a larger shear than that of Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara then says, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Misham Rai, from there is a proof. Shapir Kamalei Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi says a good Raya, because it says both the Lachos Eishin, and also says Lachos Maim. So why is it any more of a Raya for Rabbi Meir than it is for Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Meir, Amar Lomi Bai Kamar. It's a Lomi Bai type of statement, which means Lomi Bai Midei Dechash of Linshei Delo Lishtakechlei. Needless to say, it's something that people don't find so significant. Even that which people don't find significant, you're not going to find. So, think that which midi dechashiv. Needless to say, that which is chashiv, a larger shir lachos ha'esh. Needless to say that is that's not going to be found. But even that which is insignificant midi dechashiv, that which is even smaller, that also even that type of pottery a person won't find. I just found this fascinating because, you know, they said this whole pasuk was only a zeichel davar, not a raya davar, and yet Rabbi Yossi and Meir are darshening it like it's a real raya. So I'm not sure how that all works out, because usually a zeichel davar is simply just a zeichel, it's like a simon, it's a hint. But here they take it pretty seriously, the fact they're going back and forth darshening the psukim. Either way, this ends the parak of the eighth parak of Shabbos. Now we begin the seventh parak. It's a shorter daf, but it's a little bit. Not, I shouldn't say heavy, but it's a tumah v'tahara for this next daf. So let's take it slow. The parak begins as follows: at Amar Rabbi Akiva, minayin l'avodah zarah shemitama b'masa b'kinida. How do you know avodah zarah? Avodah zarah is tame as well. It's not tame mederaisa. Rather, it's tame on a derabbanan level. Most posts can assume this way, and the many rais, Tosis himself says this. I'm not going to do any mefarshim, I'm just going to try to keep it straight. So how do we know, even though it's only a drasha, it's not really a drasha, just midivrei sofrim. So the question becomes, so how do you know on this level of derabbanan that avodah zarah is matame b'masa? If one carries it, he becomes tame. So the Gemara says, it's like a nida. Mishra says, like a nida, shenemar. It says in the pasuk says that tizrem kimodava. There's a pasuk in the context of Avodah Zarah, as Rashi tells us, and it compares it to Dava. Dava is the word that how the pasuk describes a Nida in the Torah. So whenever you see the word Dava, it's always a reference to Tumas Nida. So we see that the pasuk says, Tizram kimo Dava, you should throw it away, the Avodah Zarah, like one would throw away a Nida, not literally, obviously, of the Nida at least, and say Tomarlo, and say, go out to leave from here. So that's what we say to Avodah Zarah. So ma nida metame b'masa, just like a nida, a water's nida, she contaminates one who carries her. So af avodah zarah metame b'masa, so to those who carry avodah zarah, even though they're not touching the avodah zarah, but if one is carrying it, one would be tame. How do you carry it without touching it? So you have such a situation where you could carry it in a box, carry it in something where you're not touching it directly, but you're causing it to be lifted up. So just like one who's carrying a nida's metame becomes tame, so to one who carries the avodah zarah becomes tame. The Gemara then says, Tan Nan Hasan, the Mishnah tells us that Mishaya Beso Samach Avodah Zarah. Let's say a person's house is next to, mamash adjacent, juxtaposed to Avodah Zarah, a house of Avodah Zarah. V'nafa falls down. Aslev Noso, you can't rebuild it, because now in essence you're building, you're be Kimahane, says Rashi, Kimahane Avodah Zarah, you're helping benefit the Avodah Zarah. Kate, what should a person do if you want to rebuild your house? So Konis Latoch Shalot Dalat Amos, you should now move your border, or at least the building, Dalat Amos, into your property so it's not right next to your neighbor. The bona and build from that place. Haya Shalot V'Shalot Avodah Zarah. Let's say it was in partnership. The wall was half of Avodah Zarah, half yours. So what should you do in this instance? Nidon Mechsa Mechsa Vanav Ve'etav Va'afarav, that you view half of it as being of Avodah Zarah and half of it as being yours. Nidon Mechsa Mechsa, half and half. You take half, each person takes half. And then Rashi says here, Nidon Mechsa Mechsa Hamechsa Shalo Nechsheves Barba Amos Shal Knitsa Lefishe Chayvuhu Chacham Larchiko Mishalo Arba Amos Velikarnes Kulo Besoch Shalo. So what you should do is half the material becomes yours, and you move in to Dal Amos into your property to start rebuilding. Then the Brisa goes on to say, Avana Ve'et Ve'Afar Ve'Mitamim Kisheretz, the beams, the rocks, the dirt, all of that is metame kisheretz, not like kenida, but kisheretz, says the Mishnah. And how do we know? Shenemar shaketz tishaksenu v'gomer. This is a description of Avodah Zarah. It's called something disgusting, sheketz tishaksenu. And Rashi points out, sheketz tishaksenu, what that means is that lashon sheketz is kisheretz, shenu metame b'masa. The word sheketz is also used in the context of a sheret, and here it's being applied to Avodah Zarah as well, and therefore has the same din. Sheketz tishaksenu is telling us like a sheret, and a sheret is not metame b'masa. So this Mishnah goes against our Mishnah and says that it's not like a nida, it's like a sheret. So Rabbi Kiva Omer, Kenida, and the Mishnah says that Rabbi Kiva thinks otherwise. It's like a nida, like we have here in Masech HaShabbos. He says that as well. Where's this Mishnah again? This Mishnah is found in, hold on a second, this Mishnah is in Masech HaSavodah Zarah. So Rabbi Kiva goes on to say that Kenida shenemar tizrim kimo dava manada manida mitame b'masa afa avodah zara mitame b'masa. So this is the machlokus in the Mishnah in Maseches Avodah Zarah. Although in Shabbos we only present one position that of Rabbi Kiva, it's really machlokus whether or not tumas avodah zara is like tumas sheretz and there is no tumas masa, only tumas maga, or is it like a tumas nida whereby there's also tumas masa. So the Gemara now analyzes this. Amar Rabba, Rabba says tizrim damar. The Tizrim that says the Lashon of Zar, Zar is a foreign, a stranger, so that Lashon of Tizrim, the Makra, is Lashon of Nakrinu, Minach Gazar, it should be foreign to you like a Zar, like a person who's a stranger to you, and then the double Lashon of Tzei Tomerlo, tell him to go out, he Kanes Al Tomerlo, don't say come in. So this double Lashon indicates that that should be, the language tells us that should be stringency. There's a chumrah, the repetition here of, again, the tizrim, and then lashon of tzei tomar lo, tell him to go out, tells us that it should be more of a chumrah, that therefore not only touching avodah zarah is matame, but even if a person lifts avodah zarah would be tame as well. So the Gemara then says, Vama Rabba says, b'masa d'chul yamalo pligi. Rabba's understanding is when it comes to masa, no one argues d'matame. D'ha iskish l'nida. Because this pasuk, where it says tizrim, where it says tizrim kimodava, that's avodah zarah being compared to nida. So no one could contend that. It definitely is compared to nida. That's a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. So it's compared to nida. And the fact that double lashon is used of tizrim, of then it says tzei tomar lo, that double lashon tells us that it's metame both in maga and masa. So no one argues. Everyone agrees it's metame b'masa. Even the Tanakhama we just said above. Even the Tanakhama just said shek, it's compared to sheretz. But didn't say with respect to which halacha. So we'll see what halacha in a second. But the Gabi Masa, at this point, Rabbi holds, everyone holds, Tumas Masa applies to Avodah Zarah. Ki pligi, when do they argue? Be'evin Mesame. What's Evin Mesame? So Rashi explains here, he depicts that Be'evin Mesame, Evin Sheshamua, as Sheshamua, Agabi Yisedas. You place a rock on top of pegs, and the Kelim Tachteh, and there's some utensils, pots and pans, or whatever else below. Kedichsiv, Vahaisis Ave Evin Chada, Vesamta Pum, Gova. So you place some type of chair, rock, on top of pegs, on top of sticks. Venida ozav yoshinala. You have a nida or zav sit on top of this rock. Ava pishlo hichbidu al hakelim. Even though they didn't put any pressure, they didn't put any weight. They're just above the kelim, but the kelim are beneath the rock. But the rock is suspended, so there's no pressure on top of the kelim. Nonetheless, the tameim, the kelim are tameim hakelim. The chesiv kol asher yeh tachtav. The pasuk says anything that's beneath them, even though they're not feeling any of the pressure or weight of the nida or the zav. So that's a pasuk by Evin Mesame. So Evin Mesame, that's a shaila. There's an avodah zarah also metame be Evin Mesame. Is it like a nida? And it's metame be Evin Mesame? Or it's not like a nida? It's like a sheretz, where it's not metame be Evin Mesame. So the Gemara explains here as follows. Again, keep pligi, when did they argue? Be Evin Mesame. In other words, that Rabbi Kiva Savar Kenida, ma nida metame be Evin Mesame, af avodah zarah metame be Evin Mesame. That it is like a nida with respect to Evin Mesame, and Rabbanan Tavre Kisheret, Mashet Lo Metame Bevin Mesama, so to Afavodah Zarah, La Ein Avodah Zarah, Ein Metame Bevin Mesama. So that's the machlokas. But the Gabe Tumas Masa, everyone agrees that it is Tumas Masa, again, because the double Lashon of Tazrim, and then the Lashon of Tseh. So, Rabbi Kiva, Lamai Hilchasa Iskesh Lasheret. Now, according to Rabbi Kiva, so the din of Tumas Avodah Zarah is Mamish like a nida. There's Tumas Maga, there's Tumas Masa, there's Tumas Evin Mesame, so it's just, it's equated. So how can the Pasuk says, Shaket Tishak Tsenu, why compare it to Sheretz? What's the need to learn from Sheretz? So the Gemara says, Limashmasheha, Limashmashin Rashi says, are Shein HaKelim HaMashamashin Mitamin Lobimasa Lobevin Mesame. The items used to perform the services, not the Avodah Zarah itself, not the idol itself, not the Getchka itself, but just the kelim that are used, those don't have a din of Nida. Those are like a sheretz, whereby only Tumas Maga is a Metame, but they're not Metame B'Masa, nor the Metame B'Evin Mesame. So that's why the din of Avodah Zarah is compared to a sheretz through the pasuk of Shaket Tishak Senu. Ule Rabbanan Lamai Hilchasa, Iskish L'Nida, L'Masa. So according to the Rabbanan who hold that Evin Mesame does not apply to Avodah Zarah, so it's not entirely like Anida. So Lama Hilchasa Iskash Lanida, why do we compare it to Anida? Lamasa, to tell us that Tumas Masa applies, even though it's not fully like Anida, but it's partially like Anida, because if it's only compared to a Sheretz, so that only tells us Tumas Maga. So we have to compare it to Anida, to say there's also Tumas Masa. Even though Tumas Evin Mesame doesn't apply, it still is a partially connected to Anida. So the Gemara says, so if that's the case, it's not really compared to Nida, because Nida has not only Masa, but also has Tumas says Tumas Evan Mesama Velokshe Rahman Lenevela. So why didn't the Torah compare Avodah Zarah to Nevela? That would have been a more appropriate comparison because Nevela fills the slots in Tumas Maga and Tumas Masa, but not Tumas Evan Mesama. That would be a better comparison than that of Nida. As Rashi says, Velokshe Lenevela, to Isbe Masa, Velespe Evan Mesama. According to Rabbanan's conclusion that Avodah Zarah is Matame Bimaga Bimasa, but not Batama Evan Masama, the comparison would be the model that we should look for is Nevela. V'hachi says Rashi, Hachi Adif. This is a better comparison. The Sulo Tzarech Le'akushi Le'sheret Le'mutei Me'Evan Masama. You don't need to compare it to Sheretz in that it's not Evan Masama, and then compare it to Nida that there is Evan Tumas Masa. It's strange to compare it to two different things and only take one piece from each of the models. So why not compare it to Nevela? So Gemara says, you're right. Einach Nami, you're correct. Ella, Sama Nida, so why is it compared to Nida? It's compared to Nida, not the Tivri Tumas Masa, that we already know it's Tumas Masa, from the double Lashon, at this stage that we know Tumas Masa, but the comparison to Nida for the Rabbanan is for the following reason. El Ma Nida, Eino Le'Varm, Af Avodah Zarah, Eino Le'Varm. Just like Tumas Nida doesn't apply when the person, the woman, is in limbs, if a limb gets cut off, there's no more Tumas Nida, so too by the part of the Avodah Zarah, there's no Tuma. So Rashi just explained, he describes a little bit, Eino Le'Varm, Im Nechtach Eiver, Mimena, Mitame B'masa B'Oel, Mishum Toras Eiver Min Achai, Avalo Mishum Toras Eiver Min HaNida. So if you cut off an arm, a leg, or something, a limb, it's cut off, there is Tumas Mace involved, or Tumas Eiver Min Achai, but not Tumas Nida. But nafkamina, what's the difference? It's all tuma. But nafkamina is delo matami be'evin masama. In other words, a limb of a woman has a din of evin menachai, which is matami be'maga, and it's matami be'oel, it's matami be'masa, but it's not matami evin masama. That's only if it's viewed as tumas nida. So that's the nafkamina, why we compare it to a nida. Just like a nida, an aver is not matame evin masama, so to avodah zarah, part of the avodah zarah, limb of the avodah zarah, if you will, is not matame evin masama. So the Gemara then says, "Ela ha debayi Rav Chama bar Guria Avodah Zarah yesh levarim o eino levarim." They had this shaila. Rav Chama wanted to know: is levarim? Is it tuma for levarim or not tuma for levarim of an Avodah Zarah? And Tipshet Lei meha to the Rabbanan eino levarim. Why not have a clear answer from the sheet of Rabbanan? We just explained that there certainly is no tuma levarim for Nida. That was clear. It was never a shaila for him. It was only comparing Nida eino levarim to Avodah Zarah eino levarim. But certainly the understanding was, the assumption was that Nida ain't a levarm. So this Shaila was asked by Rav Chama bar Guria, answer according to Rabbanan that it's not ain't a levarm. So the Gemara says, you're right. For the Shita, the Rabbanan was clear. It's clear that just like a Nida ain't a levarm, so too the Avodah Zarah ain't a levarm. But Rav Chama bar Guria, Ali b'der Rabbi Akiva Baile, he was asking in the world of Rabbi Akiva, that was his Shaila. So Rashi explained here, Ali b'der Rabbi Akiva Baile, the actually Nida, according to Rabbi Akiva, it was a full connection to Nida, Avodah Zarah is like Nida. Mi Amrina Laha Nami Iskish, we say that's compared to Nida as well. That there's just like Nida Ein Levarim, so to Avodah Zarah Ein Levarim. Oh, Demo Lechumra Makshinan, but Lekula Lo Makshinan. We only compare Avodah Zarah to Nida in terms of Chumras, in terms of where there is Tuma. But in terms of Kulas, where there is not Tuma, maybe we don't compare it to Nida. And that was a question only in the world of Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara then says that Rabbi Eliezer Amar, so now Rabbi Eliezer has a whole other approach to what we discussed. According to Rabbah, the whole discussion was Tumas Masa certainly applied to Avodah Zarah. The only Shaila was Evan Masama, that was the only Shaila whether Evan Masama applied to Avodah Zarah or not. So the Gemara then says Rabbi Eliezer's understanding is different. Rabbi Eliezer, we're going to go through just a little bit because it goes deep into the next app. We'll get it started at least. That Rabbi Eliezer Amar, be Evan Masama, Tuchuli Amar Lo Pligi, Tuchuli Amar Lo Pligi. Everyone agrees that Evan Masama does not apply to Avodah Zarah. It applies to a case of Avenida, based on the pasuk of Asher Yetachta, that which is below, but it does not extend itself to Avodah Zarah. That's clear according to Rabbi Elazar. No one holds it does apply to Avodah Zarah. So then the Gemara says, Kipligi, when did they argue with Masa? They argue whether or not Tumas Masa applies to Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Kiva Savar, Kinida, Manida, Metam, and Masa, Avodah Zarah, Metam, and Masa. So that's the clear understanding of our Mishnah here in Masechah Shabbos. And Rabbanan, who connected the Sheretz, Rabbanan Savri, Kisheret, based on the pasuk of Shaket Tishak Senu. The hill like a sheretz, ma sheretz, lo metame b'masa, af avodah zarah lo metame b'masa. So that's the simple understanding of this Mishnah, Maseches Avodah Zarah, about whether Tumas Masa applies to Avodah Zarah. Again, it depends on whether you're comparing Tumas Avodah Zarah to Nida, which would indicate that there is Tumas Masa, or you compare it to Tumas Sheretz, where there is no Tumas Masa. So the Gemara then says, now according to Rabbi Kiva, l'may hilchasa is kasher l'sheretz. So according to Rabbi Kiva, who holds that it's a full connection, almost not a full, but it's a strong connection to Nida, just like Nida, there's too much masa, so to avoid the Zara, so why compare it to sheretz? So he says, l'mashmishin, that the utensils that are used to serve the Avodah Zarah, not the Avodah Zarah itself, but the Kalim and whatnot, that's like a Sheretz, that there is no Tumas Masa on the Kalim, only in the Avodah Zarah itself. So the Rabbanan, who hold that there is no Tumas Masa to Avodah Zarah, so then, the Mai Hilchsa is Kash Lida, why connect it to Nida at all? There's nothing to be learned from Nida. It's just Tumas Maga, that's all there's to speak of, and that's already connected to Sheretz. You don't need a connection to Tumas Nida. What are you learning from Tumas Nida? So he says, Ma Nida Eina Levarm, Af Avodah Zarah Eina Levarm. To teach us this din, that just like a Nida whose limb comes off, it's not does not have a din of Tumas Nida, so to Avodah Zarah, if it's broken off, does not have a din of Tumas Tumas Nida, Tumas Avodah Zarah. And then the Gemara says, that Rabbi Kiva, Lama Hilchasa Iskash Le Nida Lamasa. So according to Rabbi Kiva, who says that you connect it to Nida, we learn from Masas, what comes out for this understanding is that Rabbi Kiva holds that there's Tumas Maga and Tumas Masa for Avodah Zarah, but there's not Tumas Evan Masama, but that's different than Nida. Nida, there is Tumas Masa, rather there is Tumas Evan Masama as well. So why not just say what we said on Pei Beis, look Shilin Nevela, connect it to a Nevela. Nevela fits the model much better because there's Tumas Masa for Nevela, but there is no Tumas, there's no Tumas Evan Masama. And Gemara says, "Einachanami, you're right. Ella, the whole question here was really ma nida ena levarm af avodah zarah ena levarm. So that's really what we're going on to. So let's maybe just stop here, and Mirza Shem will continue this discussion tomorrow. Everybody, have a wonderful day."